This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too.
Ah, Sean, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Jack. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, did you, the other night, there's a big lightning storm. Was Mildred bothered by that? Or did you, it sounds like you slept through it.
What storm?
There was a lightning storm.
Was there?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a, why would I say it if it wasn't? It's so obviously provable that it wasn't.
Well, we live in different parts of London.
Yeah, but you know, lightning spreads over quite big areas. I mean, okay. you can see it from a satellite. And so
What day was this?
I didn't mean to start on a row,
just hang on. Grace, do you remember a storm the other night? There was a storm.
Lightning storm.
A lightning storm. Oh, you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. So
right, yes. Grace remembers.
So, all right, let's start this again. You remember the storm the other night, the lightning storm?
Yeah, lightning storm.
That's right, yeah. And, Jane woke up.
Do you know you can see them on satellite?
Yeah, yeah, from a satellite, you can,
from a satellite, yeah.
You can see them from space because, the area covered by lightning is absolutely enormous usually.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know,
I was going to say that.
Consider we probably live about, as the crow flies, about 2.5 miles from each other, I should imagine. A mile and a half, I don't know. Yep. So it will be the same lightning that I saw in southwest London, you will have seen in west London. I mean, there really is.
Yep.
That's beyond dispute now. I don't think you need to ask Grace whether there's any truth in that. But anyway, so Grace saw the lightning. Jane saw the lightning, right?
Okay.
So Jane woke up in the night. She woke up and she drew the curtains to watch the lightning, and Dolly watched it with her, right, from the bed.
Okay.
And then I slept right the way through it, all the lightning, which I'm sad about because I like lightning. And then at the end of it, when it was all over, then Dolly started barking and woke me up. So not only did I miss the lightning, which I'd have liked to have seen, I was then woken up and couldn't get back to sleep.
Well, hang on. How much do you like lightning that you... What, you would have wanted to have been woken up to see the lightning?
I would have liked that, yeah. I would have. Jane thought, shall I wake him or shan't I? And she decided not to, but I wish she had, because I missed it, as did you.
Yes, but I'm glad I did, because I'd say, wake me up if the house is on fire. That's it. And I would say, wait until it's got to the room I'm in. Don't wake me up for lightning. No. What are you doing? What are you doing?
A big lightning storm. It's fantastic. Oh, it's nice. It's nice to see lightning when you're all cozy in bed. I like that.
I do like that. Yeah, and a rain thunder with the fire on.
All of
and
that.
And a mug of tea.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good feeling. But Mildred was okay. Not that you would know because you were asleep, but freaked out by it.
Or? I think Mildred's relatively okay with fireworks. Mm. Hang on. Grace?
I can hear Mildred in the background.
Is Mildred okay with the fireworks? Is Mildred okay with the fireworks? And lightning? Nothing.
I feel I should be filling now at this point with one. You know, I'll do a little tap dance or tell a joke or something. But
no, I think I think Mildred's quite resilient. I think Gertrude, the old family dog, she used to be terrified of the lightning. So Dolly woke, the lightning happened, and then Dolly woke you up with Barbie.
When it stopped, she woke me up as if to say there was lightning. You didn't, just so you know, right? I'm going to let you know that there was lightning, and we've coped with it. It's fine. Everything's all right. Nothing to worry about, but there was lightning.
I've got a good question for you.
What's that?
Off this. Yeah. It's not completely random. Hang on. But what is going on? Mildred's going crazy. What's going on? Why is Mildred going mad?
Sean is...
Postman.
Ah, the postman, of course. Well, we should have known. As we've talked about the psychology of postmen and dogs before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
They bark and the postman always goes away. So they think, I'm going to do that again because it worked.
Oh, yes. Well remembered. Right. Okay. So two things just quickly off the back of that, off the postman. I don't think we've discussed this. Mm. I am absolutely sick of when someone wants to have a little stroke of your dog, which I'm all up for. That's great. Mm, but for whatever reason, Mildred might not take a liking to a particular person. So sometimes she could just go, not this one, not into this person.
Yeah,
doesn't like gardeners.
Uh-huh.
Mildred doesn't like gardeners. There was a smell of something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Mildred doesn't like. And they continue to try and stroke her. And I'd be polite. And I go, sorry, she could get a bit like that. When really, I want to swear and go, well, what are you doing? What do you think is going to happen?
Yes, it's not going to suddenly come round to liking you because you're persistent. You know, that's not an attractive feature.
No. No means no. Or bark means go. I've got the bark means go.
Yes, it
no
does.
Means no and bark means go.
Yeah, what didn't you understand? Why didn't your parents teach you, you know, when a dog is barking at you, it generally doesn't want to be stroked as a rule.
Thank you.
You know, if it's not your dog.
I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to be, because I'm too cowardly. I'll just keep smiling and going, while she's barking.
The best thing to do is say, it's fine, do stroke her. She hasn't bit anyone all week, so, that's probably the best thing, isn't it? You know, just to say it should be
brilliant.
Fine. She's doing really well. I think it's 4 days now, and she's so
You don't really need two hands anyway.
No.
One will do. We got a voice note.
We got a voice note, haven't we? From Jenny Matthews Nell from Tunbridge has sent in a song she used to sing to her staffy Susie, who is no longer with them. She said it used to make her son James laugh when he was little, and she asked if we recognised the song. So Jenny now has Roxy, a cockapoo, like Mildred, and she'd like another dog, but her husband thinks three children, a dog, a cat, a hamster, a bearded dragon, and a scorpion is enough. I think
it is enough.
On his side. Yeah.
You've got a zoo. That's not a house. That's a zoo.
No. Presumably, if the scorpion has a bad day, you'll end up with only half of that number of characters in your household. But anyway, she asks if we have any words to convince him. I don't think we have we?
I'm really sorry, Jenny, that you've come to us to try and help. But on top of that, that's a lot. A bearded dragon. No, I've
that's
got nothing,
too
Jack.
Much. Should we hear what... Yeah. Let's hear the message.
Yeah.
Susie, Susie Q, where are you? We love you, little doggy.
Quite nice.
Susie, Susie Q, do a poo before you wet your panties.
Okay. Well, there you are. It's lyrically, it probably has somewhere else to go. But thank you very much, Jenny. You've got a nice singing voice, hasn't she?
Very nice. That's that reminded me of one of those, you know, where you get these viral clips of vintage X Factor audition videos.
It is a bit like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's been taken from the X Factor. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much, Jenny. And sorry we couldn't help, but I think you've got enough on your plate there.
Yeah, you have.
So now it's time for our fantastic guest. Ian Moore is a comedian, author, columnist, podcaster, and chutney maker. He's appeared at comedy festivals around the world, on TV shows like Richard Osman's House of Games, and he's written a best-selling series of mystery novels. But we don't want to hear about all of Ian's amazing achievements. We want to get to know him through his dogs. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Jack. Hi, Sean.
Good to see you. You're in France, I think,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yep, in central France. It's finally... There was a bit of rain this morning. I had to go out and check, wonder what it was. It's been a bit dry.
Can see it. Not for years and years. Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. I think you're our first guest. Jack, is Ian our first guest doing it abroad?
Doing it from abroad? Probably, yeah, you might well be. Yeah.
It's an honour.
Tell us about your dogs, would you, Ian? I know you've got more than one.
Firstly, there's Gigi, and she is a rescued Chiweenie. I don't even know what a Chiweenie is, really. She's part...
So it's Chihuahua and
Dachshund, but really she's just a Jack Russell. She's, you know, but I think people are giving them these names now. It's like footballers with double-barreled names. Look, just have the one name. All right, let's just, you know, there's no need for all of this.
Yeah.
But she's basically, I think she's just a Jack Russell. She's certainly got Jack Russell attitude mixed with French. So you can imagine the level of attitude she has. Yeah. She's 12 years old now, and we've had her since she was a couple of months old. Again, she was a rescue, and we picked her up at what they call an SPA, Société de Protection des Animaux. Same as the RSPCA, but obviously there's no royals because they killed them. So it's a slightly different name, but it does the same job.
Yeah. It didn't work.
So that's Gigi. And yesterday I went to pick up Scooby, who is a pointer cross. I don't know what his cross width, because he's so small, it hasn't really developed yet at all. And it was his first night here. Last night, he's 4 months old.
Oh, wow.
And him and his whole family were rescued from Spain, an animal association in Spain, rescued by an animal association in central France. Basically, what I think happened here is that the rescue association in France, the women who run it, who are lovely, but they'd run out of cheap fags. Mm. So they made their way down to the border, picked up a load of cheap tabs and brought a load of dogs back. Because apparently they're flooded. Yes. They're flooded with dogs in Spain. I don't know whether they're on the building sites with the donkeys, but these associations are just flooded with dogs. So they're bringing them up here.
Maybe that's to do with lockdown. Obviously, lockdown, there was a big growth in dogs, puppies. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know why I'm speculating. I don't know why I chipped in there as if I had any knowledge.
No. I don't think Spain was the only country in lockdown, though. That's...
there you go. Good. Glad we dealt with that.
There you are. That's Sean back in his box.
I think... Get back in your cage, son.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss. The lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
yeah, so the cage training, little Scooby.
Okay.
And obviously, he doesn't know his name yet, really.
Why have they gone with Scooby?
Well, France treat their pet animals like we used to treat cars. So if it's a certain year, it has to be a certain letter of the alphabet. It's that kind of petty, low-level administration that the French love to say that we're rebelling against when everybody ignores it anyway. So his name is supposed to begin with a U. But, I mean, only Umberto. I mean, I genuinely get Ulysses. I don't think, you know, it's too small for a Ulysses.
Yeah, that's about it, isn't it? Yeah.
So it was my son, my youngest son, who's still, like, we all are heartbroken at losing Kipper last week. So he went with the name Scooby.
We heard about that. Very sorry.
So, sorry to hear that.
Okay. Yeah, it's horrible. Just horrible. We've all been through it. But it was just such a shock.
I bet. How old was Kipper? Tell us a bit about Kipper.
Kipper was, again, a rescue. All our animals, a rescue. Kipper was an English setter who was bred by a breeder, but the breeder decided that there were too many puppies for the mother. So he took Kipper and one of his brothers to a vet when they were just 3 days old and said, right, I want these dogs euthanized. And the vet just said, no, I'm not doing that, and gave them to... Again, an association. And my wife, Natalie, found this online. We went to pick Kipper up when he was about 8 weeks old, I think. And just Scooby is now the 10th dog I've had in my life. Kipper, obviously, the 9th in that order. And just the best dog I've ever had. And I loved all my dogs except for one. And he...
You know where I want to go next.
But Kipper was just my best mate.
Yes. And so you had him for how long in the end?
Nearly 4 years. He was four. He was just four. He was only four. And he... He was off his food a little bit. He wasn't running around. Because normally he's an English setter, so just nuts. You know, he would just do circuits around the fields all day long and then just conk out. And he stopped doing that, and we took him to the vet, and they thought, well, maybe he's got a mosquito bite that's affected his blood system. And so they gave him some injections, and then he ate the next day. But then he stopped eating, and he was losing about a kilo a day. And the vet did another kind of test on, and this is on the Wednesday morning. She rang us on the Wednesday afternoon and said he's got liver cancer. It's a matter of time, but... Dogs being dogs, they will let you know when that time is over. You'll know because they'll just look at you and go, right, this is too much now. And we took him out for a walk with Gigi on the Wednesday evening, and we're just watching him bound around and thinking, this is not a dog that is at death's door, surely it isn't. Yeah. And yet 24 hours later, he couldn't walk, and so we had to take him to the vets, and it was just... Just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, you invest so much and you get it all back.
Yeah.
And you do it again. Of course. But, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
That feeling that he was so young and even now, you keep expecting him to walk into a room, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just.
I've had that experience where you think you've seen them in the corner of your eye or something. It's like a little mirage of the dog. And you think, and then it's, of course, no, they're not there anymore. It's really, it's a terribly hard time.
Ian, have you been in this position before where you kind of, you know perhaps how to deal with it? And obviously that's extremely hard.
Yeah. The thing is, you're at different points in your life. So how you deal with it depends on where you are at that particular time. And my first dog was, when I was 10, was a King Charles Spaniel. But he was obviously not pure King Charles Spaniel. He was slightly tall and really just nuts. You couldn't open the door without him running out and just disappearing. Yes. Like, he's out the door. and he once, we lived in a bungalow And we were having dinner, and he just came flying through the serving hatch and just landed on the toilet. Absolutely, just wonder dog.
Missile.
But he was just too much for us. So he was taken on by some other people, which I found heartbreaking. He was my dog. I was 10 years old. I'd play football with him every morning before school, you know, and that's your first sort of, that's your entry level, isn't it? You know, because it's never going to get easier.
Yeah.
And then we got two more. We got his mum and his aunt, because their owners, where we'd got Oswald from, their owners were moving to Hong Kong. So we took them on as old ladies, and then they passed away when I was 14. And, you know, it just, again, it's just different types of dog, different stage in your life. And then we didn't have any more dogs until Natalie and I moved in together in 94 in London. We got a Jack Russell from Battersea Dogs Home. You know, we had her from a year and a half until she was 14. So that was obviously, that was such hard work.
Yes.
When she went, because I'd been away working, gigging, I can't remember where now, and came back, and she was just nearly gone. So I stayed up with her all night, just holding her, and then took her to the vets in the morning. And again, you know, you just... We'd just had our third child then, so we were already emotionally strung out because he was so young anyway, that it just seemed like we were never going to come back from that, you know. But you do.
Right.
Always.
Just in a slight change in direction here, but because you live in France, how are the French generally about dogs? Do you think there's a difference between the English with their dogs?
It's funny that, because French regard the English as more animal lovers than the French, but the French will take their dogs anywhere. You know, it's always a surprise when you see so many dogs in a restaurant over here. We live about 20 minutes away from a zoo, and it's officially one of the top five zoos in the world, whatever that means. But it is a great zoo. It's a conservation zoo, you know, just it's got more of everything than every other zoo bar four. And it constantly amazes me how the French will take their little dogs into a zoo. I mean, what are you doing? I remember being in the gorilla house at this zoo, right? And this enormous great silverback is basically sitting less than a meter away from you, just staring at you through the glass like that. And this woman came and stood next to me, and she's got this tiny little chihuahua thing in a basket over in her arm like that. And the gorilla's just looking at this dog. And the gorilla, I swear, I'm not making this up, I swear, the gorilla kind of looked at me and rolled its eyes. Just, you know, like, what you're evolved? You know, it was a great, and the poor dog is shivering because obviously it's terrified. You know, oh, where should we go next? I don't know, alligators, let's go look at the alligators.
Yeah.
So they kind of trophy them a little bit, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. And also, but also where we live, we're very rural. And so dogs are working dogs. They're generally hunting dogs where we are. And that causes problems because this, and this is, I think, it's probably the same with Spain in that they do not sterilize male dogs. You know, you have to if you get one from a rescue center, but so many of the hunting dogs are bred constantly. You know, it's like a lineage. It's like crafts or racehorses. You know that they come from a line. Yeah. But this goes right through. This is a French male thing, rather than a dog thing. Because I mean, if I can come off track for, after our third child, we went to the local doctors because I wanted to have a vasectomy. And this doctor literally sitting in front of me, and I said, and I'm with my wife. You know, we both went to see him. And he bangs the table and he says, never, never in 30 years of being a doctor has a man, a real man, come and ask for 6 months. And he leans across the desk like this and he's looking at me and he's pointing at me and he goes, you could still have more children. She probably can't, but you... And... And she, the thing is, she's translating at this point because my French wasn't good enough to understand. Unbelievable. So it's a French male thing.
Oh, God.
I love that. It sounds like Khrushchev, you know, getting his shoe out and banging the desk. You know.
Never.
I think it didn't end there because we went to, he said, right, all right, whatever, I've got nothing, you know, and he always had me down as a wrong'un after that. He just wouldn't put up with me at all.
Yes.
And he sent me to this specialist and we're in this waiting room for this specialist and it's now an hour past our appointment time. Eventually he calls us into the office and he's got these two big blokes in suits. And they look like mafia, right? And he's this tiny little specialist in a white coat. And he says, these are my lawyers. Okay, what? Yeah. Are they? Rocco and Santi. Yeah, all right. And he says, these are my lawyers, and we've looked at the legality of this, and legally I do not have to perform this operation. So you'll kindly leave my surgery. It was the most upset. No man has ever tried harder to have a vasectomy. It became something of a mission.
That's insane. Oh, well, I won't ask you how it finally ended up. Did you manage to get anything done? Or,
he's got seven kids.
yeah.
We eventually found someone and I went to
on
see
the black market. On the black market with a hammer.
Backstreet vasectomist. Yeah. And yeah. You know, and he was very nice. He said, oh, some of my colleagues, they're just dinosaurs. Because apparently it's only been legal in France since 2001 as a vasectomy because it was against the Napoleonic Code of self-harm.
Right.
So I found this bloke and he said he'd do it. And he said, look, don't worry about it. It's very easy. Anesthetic, you'll be up and out in a day. There's, you know, very little chance of anything going wrong. 99% is fine. Looking at Mr. 1% here, trying then to fit what was now an aubergine in my trousers onto a Ryanair budget flight. Horrible. They then test it. test if it's worked.
Oh.
And they sent me to, they wouldn't send me to my local laboratoire analyse, as they're called, where they test these things. They sent me to one that was a good 40 minutes drive away, so there'd be no shame involved. Right? And they put me in this room, gave me American porn magazines, and told me to, here's a cup. And it was so awful. Just everything about it was so awful. And I had the shame of it all. And I'm washing my hands in this tiny little room. And it was a tiny sink. And you turn on the tap too hard. And you get splashed everywhere. And you're wearing... just the whole image was...
So when you came out of the cubicle, it looked like you'd just gone crazy.
Looked like a yogurt pot had gone off in a microwave. It was just slinking out of there ignominy.
I had not in a thousand years thought we were going to get to that, but it was quite something. Yeah.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Do you have weak, damaged hair? New Garnier Fructis hair filler systems fill hair with strength 7 layers deep. In just one use, you can reverse up to 1 year of damage to hair smoothness. The sulfate-free hair filler plus vitamin CG system gives you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. New Garnier Fructis hair filler is available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
But we legitimately got into that because you're saying yes. that in France, the reluctance to get dogs neutered.
That's right. In France and Spain, they don't sterilise their dogs. And that, you know, it's all part of this macho society attitude towards that.
And look at the pain it's caused you. It's unbelievable.
So dogs can get into restaurants, dogs can get into cafes. They're allowed kind of anywhere.
Yeah.
Zoos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where is it? I think that maybe less so now, but if you're in the UK and you go in, there's a dog there, you kind of think, oh, that's a bit odd. Are they allowed in here? Is this hygienic? Whereas yes. in yeah. France, yeah. you know, yeah. it's just not an issue.
I love it. I love to see dogs in restaurants and pubs and so cafes.
Absolutely.
It's
great, and on it? Trains, yeah. especially the packed trains have a dog on there. Yeah. The tension just lowers yeah. all the time. It's like having a dog at a gig. Yeah. Yeah. As well. Everybody's, there's
yes.
a dog.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for everyone, isn't it? Yeah. yeah. So how are you with your dogs then, Ian? When you talk to them, do you have a special voice when you're talking to your dogs?
I kind of whisper it so that nobody else in the house hears. Do you know, it's like...
Oh, yes.
You're right. You're right. You don't... You come to Daddy. Come to Daddy. Will you come to Daddy now?
Yeah, okay.
Which is far nicer than I ever spoke to any of my children. So I don't want them actually hearing that.
Yeah, to hear the nice yes. side of you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you ever give the dogs, do you ever channel a voice for your dogs so that you give your dogs a voice that they use?
Ah, right. Because
I don't, but Jack does.
Well, I think only if yeah. they're behaving a bit sort of dappy. I mean, like Kipper was a lovely, sweet boy, but, you know, at times he was like goofy, you know. So if he'd come towards you and he'd be lolloping around and his tongue's hanging out, he'd go, how you doing, Kip? Like that. It just you kind of give them that Disney feel.
That's a resounding yes. Yeah. That's a big yes.
It is, yeah. This is the thing about dogs, though, isn't it? All dignity is lost. You can be the toughest individual yes. in the world, but there is no dignity involved.
Of course.
And quite rightly so.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned earlier that Scooby in a crate. I know he's only had one night with you so far.
Yeah.
He's in a crate. And do both your dogs sleep in crates?
No, Gigi goes where the hell she likes. Like Natalie said before we picked Scooby up yesterday, she said, right, we've got to start with rules here, which is what we say every time we get a new animal. Right, we're going to have rules here. He's not going on the furniture. And sure. I looked around the lounge and there's a dog and two cats. There are no sofas free because we have an animal on every piece of furniture. It's just not feasible. You know, you have to completely start again. I remember when we got Eddie from Battersea and the lady who actually passed Eddie over to us, she was a girl, by the way, Eddie. Her name in Battersea was Edelweiss. But we lived in Vauxhall, Brixton, breaking into the park late at night, shouting Edelweiss at the top of your voice would attract the wrong market. And we were told the first night they said, look, she's going to cry. Just you have to be strong. You have to ignore it. You just have to, you know, let her cry and let her get used to where she is. Yeah. So we put her in the kitchen. We went to bed. And with an hour... she was in between us in the bed. That was how weak, you know,
absolutely.
We were. And still are. That's the way.
Standard.
Yeah.
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 Can't do it. You can't do anything else, you know. Unless you're going to be the kind of person who keeps them, you know, on a chain outside the house to keep people away or something.
There's a lot of that around here. You can't do that around here because a lot of them are hunting dogs.
Yes.
And it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Your sensibilities when you don't have working dogs are completely different, obviously.
Totally. It's a completely different thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard.
So do you go out, Ian, do you leave the dogs on their own a lot where you are? Or do they have to cope on their own? Or
Not very often anymore because I don't travel as much as I used to. And they've got loads of land here. So, I mean, that's why we came to France because it's so cheap, you know.
Really nice.
They don't even have to go for walks very often. In fact, it's easier not to because there's so much. This was the thing about Kipper. I'd only just bought one of those GPS tracking devices, you know, those things you can get to put on the collar. Literally set that account up a couple of weeks ago. And because every time we went out, a deer would just shoot across the, and he'd be gone. That's it. You're out. And, you know, the instinct just takes over completely. So we don't actually walk them that much, and they don't need to be walked very much because they've got so much space, you know. And Gigi just takes herself off.
Yeah.
If she gets bored, she goes and annoys the goats or starts barking at the horse.
That's amazing.
You know,
it's
very bucolic.
It sounds like a heaven for dogs, really.
Yeah, completely.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, we always finish by asking this the same question.
Yes.
And that's, where do you stand when it comes to your dogs kissing you on the mouth? Do you let them do that? Would you do that to your dogs?
Well, look, no tongues, obviously. But it does occasionally happen. Not, but it's one of those accidental school disco things, I think, that you don't, it just kind of happens. And then you feel slightly uncomfortable. Because I was out with Scooby at 5 o'clock this morning, and he did a tiny little poo in the garden there, and then he licked the poo, and I thought, all right then, that's we're gonna mouthwash you, son, before we have any further cuddles today.
Yeah, go anywhere nearer. Yeah. It's a good enough reason to say no to that.
It is. You know, put that in a human context. You wouldn't do it, would you? You just wouldn't do
it. It does clarify things for you if you consider that. Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true.
Ian, thank you so much. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you, getting to know your dogs. Good luck with Scooby as well.
Yes, we want to hear more about that.
No, thank you. It's actually been really cathartic as well. You know, this time a few days ago, I genuinely didn't think I'd be able to do this, but it's been really nice to, over the last couple of days, to think about Kipper and just the amount of fun I had with him. So it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been lovely to hear it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that with us. It's not easy, but it's, I know there are listeners out there, by the way, who in similar situations, who said it's because I've lost my dog, I listen to this podcast because it connects me with having a dog. Yeah. So, you know, it's great that you were able to bring that to us.
Thank you so much. Great. Cheers,
thank you,
mate.
Thanks for having me on. It's great fun.
That was fantastic.
What an interesting, it's just lovely to hear from Ian, because I admit I didn't know Ian very well. I've bumped into him a few times on the circuit.
Yeah.
And he's, by the way, one of the best dressed comedians I ever encountered, which is what I appreciated about him, because other than him, I think I'm the only one who makes an effort. So it was great to get time to talk to him properly. So it was really nice. Yeah.
He's fantastic. He's now, do you know, he's sadly, Ian was one of my favourite comedians growing up watching comedy, but he's sadly retired from stand-up and is now an author.
He's a successful author now in his own right. So extraordinary. And also makes chutney, which I didn't get around to asking about.
Oh, yes,
about,
of but, course.
You know, we went into other areas of his life. I didn't feel like saying, tell us about your chutney, Ian. So you can't do that, but
that's the problem, is you don't know where it's going to go. You know, you ask him about chutney, and then the next minute he's talking about anal bleaching. So you've got to be careful with Ian, you know.
Yeah, he'll just take you anywhere. He's a crazy guy.
I said that he was our first guest doing it from a foreign country, but I actually think Will Young spoke to us from LA, perhaps.
Did he? Okay. I thought he lived in London, Will.
He wasn't in LA.
He wasn't.
That was the sound of our producer saying he wasn't in LA.
See, this is what I do. I say, I need a little moment before I don't know why I say things.
If it's not me correcting you or Grace correcting you, it's Clara, the producer, correcting you. This is... I don't know why you speak, really.
Oh, no!
it was
very moving. Yeah. I mean, I nearly went to tears there. To be clear about Kipper, not
of course, I
not
know,
the vasectomy.
Well, that had its moments, didn't it? You know,
it was an emotional ride.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back of our recent guests. We had Gary Newman and Gemma, who were speaking to us from Scotland, which is another country, Sean.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
Okay. Is it?
Oh, well, good luck on the tour anyway. I hope that works out for you. We better wrap things up because I know you want to get back. You want to get back to your bagel. Well, thank you very much for listening to Oh My Dog. Every week we get all these insights from our guests, and we hope that you're enjoying getting to know a different side of them through their relationships with their dogs.
Yes, don't forget to get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com and find us on Instagram at omdpod. Loads of extra content and videos there, and you can send us your voice notes too.
And don't forget to give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. Thank you. And remember, a dog is for life, not just for podcasts.
Delicious.